The following message was given by Brothers Dennis Cooley and Osmar Suarez in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, January 5th, 2020. The title of the message is Riches of the Good Land 1. Scripture reading, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 10, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, and 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10.
For your living word, thank you that you are our portion. Oh, and that we can walk in you. We can be rooted in you. Oh, Lord, we do pray that you would take us on in these days, increase our experience and enjoyment of you in our daily living, day by day. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're coming to the riches of the good land. We will be on this topic a couple of weeks. This is the first week we're on this topic. We've just finished going through 5 weeks on the material offering for the Lord's move, which was a marvelous, marvelous subject to get into. We haven't been into that in a very long time. And now we are going to have 2 weeks in the book of Colossians before we start our review of the Thanksgiving conference on the knowing and experiencing the all-inclusive and extensive Christ. This was a marvelous conference we had in Houston this Thanksgiving, but in preparation for that and in light of that, and in light of just finishing the video training, we wanted to spend 2 weeks in the book of Colossians on Christ as the good land, the riches of the good land. This would be the first week on that topic and on that subject. The main verses are Deuteronomy 7, 8, chapter 8, verses 7 through 10. And these verses are the verses which Brother Lee used in when he first moved to this country, I think in 1962, 63. He gave his first major conference on the all-inclusive Christ. And we have that book. I don't think we have a copy in the book room, but you can order that book. This is a marvelous book taken from these few verses in Deuteronomy chapter 8, which depict the good land which the God has told the children of Israel he was giving to them and wanted them to possess such a land. And that land is a type of Christ. You know, there are many types of Christ in the Old Testament. The lamb, the Passover lamb in Exodus, when the children of Israel were being released from Pharaoh's bondage, they had to take a lamb, a perfect lamb, and examine it and slaughter the lamb, a lamb for a house, and put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and then prepare the lamb and eat the lamb in the house, ready to walk out of Egypt, ready to leave their slavery and their bondage. And so that's a marvelous type of Christ, the Passover and the Passover lamb. But there's also another type of Christ, a very all-inclusive type of Christ, and that is the good land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. And in our reading this week, we had this question, what is this? Do you have this Christ? And of course, we all have to answer, yes, we have this Christ. And then there was the questions, what kind of Christ do you have? Do you have a lamb or do you have a land? There's quite a difference, right? And is Christ just, you know, slain for us, and he did die on the cross for us, praise the Lord for that, and shed his blood for us, and we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. This is marvelous. Is that all he is to us, or is he a vast and spacious land which we can walk in, which we need to be rooted in, which we can enjoy all the riches of the land, and on which we need to labor to have rich produce to eat? This is the question for us this week, and I was pondering this myself, and I realized I don't experience Christ enough. I enjoy him as my Lamb of God, even maybe almost every day, but at least at the Lord's table meeting, and appreciate him shedding his blood for me. But I have to confess my experience of Christ as a lamb that I walk in, as the riches of all the produce of the land, the wheat and the barley, I am short in my experience. And so my prayer this week is, Lord, I want to experience you more. I want to experience you more. You know, God's goal for the children of Israel was not simply to deliver them from slavery. Yes, he has to deliver them from Pharaoh, but that wasn't the goal. And when he delivered, he gave them the Passover lamb, right? He gave them the Passover to free them from Pharaoh's bondage. But that wasn't his goal. He took them across the Red Sea, and there was quite a miracle there for them. But still, just crossing to leave Egypt to get to the wilderness was not God's goal. Then in the wilderness, marvelous what God did for them. He fed them every day manna from heaven. He fed them bread of God from heaven every day. And yet, the bread of God, the manna, is not God's goal. God's goal was to bring them through the wilderness so that they could enter into the good land, the land which is flowing with milk and honey, the spacious land, the rich, rich land full of all kinds of produce and all kinds of animals and mountains and hills and waters flowing rich and free. That is God's goal. The children of Israel left Egypt. Many Christians, right? If you're a real Christian, we've all been saved from the world, right? We've been redeemed, and hopefully we have left the world behind. We've crossed the Red Sea. And I believe many of us have experienced how sweet the Lord is in the morning when we take Him as our daily manna. But I want to remind you, that's not God's goal. But I have to confess many times, I'm satisfied. A little manna in the morning, good enough for me, you know. Then on throughout my day, and I don't think much about the Lord. I don't experience the Lord that much. I'm happy just with a little manna. How about you? We should not be satisfied with. We need manna every day. We need to take the word every day in the morning. We need to feast on Him every day. But that is not God's goal. God's goal is that we would enter in and possess the good land, that we would be rooted in this good land. We would be grounded in this land, and we would walk in Him. This is Colossians chapter 2, right? Now, the first important verse I just want to mention is 1:12. Maybe we can look at Colossians 1:12 again, because this verse tells us we were given Christ as an allotted portion. Let's read this together. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. Here in chapter 2 of Colossians, Paul is definitely referring to the good land of Canaan, because the children of Israel each got a special allotted portion. Every tribe got a portion. Then every family in that tribe got a portion of that portion. And every person had part of the land that they could live on, that they could cultivate, that they could reap the benefit and the riches there. Everyone had an allotted portion. And Paul is telling us, we are the same. We need to give thanks to the Father because He has allotted us, right? He has allotted us a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. We all have a portion of this Christ. Actually, we all have the all-inclusive Christ as our portion. So what? We need to walk in Him. And this matter of walking in the Lord is a big burden this week in our portion. This is referring to our daily life, right? We get up every morning and we start to walk. And we walk throughout our day, whether we're going to work, whether we're at home with the kids, whether we're on the campus in college or in high school. We're walking every day in our daily life. But do we have the realization that we need to be walking in Christ? We need to be abiding in Him. We need to be talking to Him and considering Him and begin to enjoy Him in so many areas of our daily life. This is my burden this morning, brothers and sisters, that we would begin to practice taking Christ in our daily life as so many items. As I mentioned, He delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and He gave them the Passover lamb to get them out. And then He brought them through the wilderness and gave them the manna. And he gave them the cleft rock out of which flowed the living water so that they could have something to drink while they're in the wilderness. But his goal was not to remain there. It was to enter in the good land, into the good land, and possess it. And to possess it, it's quite meaningful as well, they needed to fight to get into the good land. They needed to defeat all the enemies that inhabited the good land. And in this good land, if you read these verses we read this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you not only have the plant life, the wheat and the barley and the figs and the pomegranates and the honey, you not only have that, you have the animal life there. You have the milk and the curd from the cattle. You have the flocks there. And you also have the hills and the mountains and so many kinds of waters. And in the hills and the mountains are stones and iron. What is that for? That is for the building of God. And that is for fighting and defeating the enemy. So, brothers and sisters, the goal is, yes, to enter in and possess it. But to possess it, we need to fight the battle. To enter in, we need to defeat the enemy. And it says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, I enjoy this, walk in him, having been built up in him. So the building is involved here. We need to walk in him in order to be built in him. So we need to enjoy Christ to such an extent. Even it mentions in some of the reading, we need to be matured in Christ to such an extent that we are experience him as the stone. We are being transformed into precious stones for the building and experience him as the iron to defeat God's enemy. This is really a picture of our Christian life. And it's a picture of our daily life that we would learn to walk in him. Okay. Now, I want to give a few examples that were mentioned in the reading this week. How can we experience the riches of Christ? Christ, as the good land, encompasses all the positive things in this universe, right? He's our land to walk on. And you know, in our daily life, we do a lot of talking. We do a lot of speaking. But I don't know if we've considered that much. I have to confess, I haven't considered enough. That Christ should be my speaking. The question was asked here. When you are speaking, when you speak something to someone, are you speaking Christ to them? Or are you just talking to them naturally? And Brother Lee was quoted there as saying, you know, we need to have some realization. If the Lord would enlighten us to realize every positive thing that we experience in our daily life, all the elements even of this earth that we live on are Christ, then the Holy Spirit could enlighten us. What about our speaking? Is our speaking something? You know, Ephesians says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up. So our speaking is very important. We can build the church with our speaking. We can also tear down one another with our speaking. Our speaking is crucial. So when we're about to speak, we need to be exercised. And I enjoy this kind of this phrase, if the Lord would enlighten me. And I've been praying, Lord, enlighten me. Because I know much of my speaking is not Christ, is not tempered by the Lord. And so I need to be careful. I need to be exercised so that before I speak, I would experience the Lord even as the cross of Christ to cross out my natural speaking so that something of the Lord could come out and I could speak something of Christ to people, whether it's the gospel to, you know, to a neighbor or to someone that I'm on the plane with, or whether it's to build up the church, speak something of life to one another. Brothers and sisters, we all need more life. And we need more life from one another, and we need to dispense more life to one another. And a lot of that is done in our speaking and how we speak. And so we have a lot of opportunities in our daily life to exercise. Lord, should I say this? Or should I not say this? How should I say this? What should I say? That gives us opportunity to what? Abide in Him at that time. To walk in Him at that time. Because speaking is so important. Another item of Christ that's mentioned in these verses, He's the wheat, He's the barley, He's the pomegranate. He's so many items of food. And we eat at least three times a day. There may be some snacks. We eat a lot during the day. And I know most of us probably, before we eat, we like to give thanks to the Lord for the food. That's wonderful. Very good. But even more do we have this realization, Lord, You are this food. Not just thank You for the food. Lord, You are my food. I need to eat more of You. Even as I eat my breakfast this morning, Lord, I like to take You in as my real breakfast. This oatmeal is just a picture, right? This morning, my wife makes these oat waffles with garbanzo beans. Very nourishing, very filling. We like to eat them in our house, but I don't think I have the realization, Lord, You're my real garbanzo beans and oats. You're my real, you know, log cabin syrup. You're the real sweetness in the morning. But wouldn't that be marvelous if we could, you know, have this kind of realization that throughout the day, Lord, You're my apple, You're my banana that I'm taking now. You're my lunch, You're my dinner, You're everything. We need to eat, right? We need to partake of the Lord and even eat His Word as our food, right? We have a lot of marvelous verses. Maybe we can go to, do we have Psalm 119, 103? Yeah, let's read that together. How sweet are Your words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The words are so sweet to us. The words are the real honey to us. So if we want to enjoy Him as the milk and the honey and the riches of food, we need to eat His Word and take Him in as our food. Also, He's our rest. You know, when we need to rest after a long day's work, we come home. A lot of times we like to sit in our favorite chair or take a little nap in the couch there before dinner. We like to have a little rest. I don't know if I have this realization that much. Lord, You're my real rest. I like to rest in You. Even in your busy day at work, we need to learn to rest in the Lord and not to let all the things going on the job take away our rest and make us so anxious. We need to turn to the Lord that He's our real rest. I hope we could have this kind of practice in our daily living to enjoy Christ in all these aspects. Then I'd like to cover this man, this point that the good land is a land of flowing with milk and honey. And we read these verses. You know, honey and milk are very interesting items. They are produced by the combination of both the animal life and the vegetable life. Kind of a cooperation or a mingling of these two lives. And in the scriptures, in the book of Deuteronomy, honey is listed with the plant life. Although honey needs bees to be produced, right? Mainly it's from the pollen of the plant life. And the bees take this pollen and pollinate the flowers, and then they go to their hives and they produce the honey. So it's a combination, it's a cooperation, a mingling of these two lives. And then the milk is listed with the animal life in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. And there it's listed, of course, with the cattle and with the flock. Why? Because milk mainly comes from the animal life, but the animals get their nourishment from eating the pasture. So it's also a combination of the plant life with the animal life. And I think this is very meaningful because our Christ, right? Our Christ on the cross has redeemed us through His blood. This is related to the human life, right? The animal life. But He is also the grain of wheat that went into the ground to die to regenerate us as the many grains of wheat, and that is related to the plant life. So even our Christ is a combination of these two lives and these two lives are types of Christ. So even at the table, my appreciation has been uplifted in these weeks related to the Lord's table meeting, because our Christ is so rich. And we enjoy his generating life by being, you know, his being the grain of wheat. We also enjoy his redeeming life because he shed his blood for us. And that makes him so sweet and so nourishing. And you know, in the reading we had, it mentions this, you know, what is more rich to you? Is it the plants, the figs and the pomegranates? There's a rich abundance of life in pomegranates, or milk? And then Brother Lee mentions this, that I think we have to confess that milk is the richest of the foods because of all that it contains and how nourishing it is. And of course, we feed our newborns milk for a few years, right? Because everything is in the nutrients and everything is needed is in the milk. Milk is very rich. Our Christ is full of milk and honey. And we need to experience him as the sweetness of his life and the riches of his life as our daily supply. And these riches are mainly in the Word. We read Psalm 119. Let's look at Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. Maybe we can read these verses together. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and the result of your labor for what does not satisfy? Hear me attentively and eat what is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. I'd like to end with this point to emphasize this matter of needing to mature, to grow, so that we could be built up together and fight the enemy. And in the line of this, and in light of this week, I was touched very much by a verse in Jeremiah 17, verse 8. On Friday night, as we were reviewing this portion, one of the saints mentioned this matter, that our banner this year is the family life for the church life and being root, sending our roots downward so that we could bear fruit upward. And she wanted to emphasize this in the meeting, and I was touched by this. Don't forget the second part of our banner. I think it's easy to concentrate on the family life for the church life. It's very crucial to have a good, proper family life for the church life. But we should not neglect this fact of having our roots go further downward so that we can bear fruit upward. This refers to our hidden life with the Lord. We need to be rooted in him, that's Colossians, and walk in him as the good land. And this rooting takes place mostly in secret, mostly in our private time. And this verse, we pray-read Saturday morning with the brothers, and I was touched by this verse. Let's read this together. And he will be like a tree transplanted beside water, which sends out its roots by a stream, and will not be afraid when heat comes, for its leaves remain flourishing, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, and will not cease to bear fruit. I hope that we would take this verse, memorize this verse, enjoy this verse. We need to be this tree. We all need to be trees like this, sending our roots out even daily, sending our roots down by the stream to get the water. Because as our brother Osmar will share a little bit more about our experiencing sufferings, we have a lot of sufferings in our daily life. We go through a lot of things, and we need the living water. We need the supply of life to get us through. And this is the most profitable way, is that we would be those, morning by morning, sending our roots down deeper to experience the Lord more, that we could be supplied by him in all the things we pass through in our daily life.
Hallelujah. Our Christ is so rich. He is so rich. He is so full. He can fulfill all your needs. He is so sweet. He is so sweet. All your desires he exceeds. He exceeds all your desires, all our expectations. Amen. I'm just going to share on 2 points I enjoyed this week. One from the life study of Colossians, and one from this wonderful book, The All-Inclusive Christ. I do not sell books, but I want to promote this book. It has helped me so much. It's old. It has some coffee stains on it. Some accidents happened when I was kind of falling asleep when I was reading years ago. And I enjoy this time just going back to my last years ago, some notes and some. There are riches here. Saints, get this book. If you need some help on how to order, I can help you. If you need one in Spanish, I can get it for you. But let's get into these publications. Especially this one, The All-Inclusive Christ, since the rest of materials that we are going to be enjoying as directly related to this conference, given in 1962, end of 62 by Brother Lee. And this has to do a lot with what we are covering today. So first of all, I was impressed in the life study of Colossians, it mentions that actually the land as a type of Christ, we see that from the beginning of the Bible, chapter 1, because we read in chapter 1 that the earth became waste and emptiness, and it was covered by the waters of death. But on the third day, the dry land emerged above the waters of death. On the third day, that speaks of the resurrected Christ, resurrecting on the third day. And later on, the people of Israel goes to possess the good land. And this good land of Canaan, even geographically, depicts something of Christ. Because this land, Canaan, is located or surrounded by waters. It has the Mediterranean Sea, the Dead Sea, and the Jordan River. And these waters there signify death. There are some other waters in the Bible that signify life, but these waters signify death. And this promised land, this good land, is surrounded by these waters of death. So this tells us a principle. Since Christ is the reality of this land, this means that outside of Christ, there's nothing but death. So if we want to live, we have to remain ourselves in Christ. We have to walk in Christ. We have to live in Christ. We have to be found in Christ. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, maybe we can read this verse again. I was really touched by this verse. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. So there are so many things that the life study of Colossians develops from this verse. But I want to touch one point, and it's about the light. This is the portion of the saints in the light. And the Bible speaks of the light, the divine light, extensively, especially John, the writer of the gospel, and in his epistles. At the beginning of the gospel of John, we read, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome. Well, here in Colossians, we see that there is the matter of walking on this land. But on this verse 12 says, for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light, but the following verse says, who deliver us out of the authority of darkness and transfer us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So the kingdom of the Son of His love, it's in opposition to the authority of darkness. Why? Because the kingdom of the Son of His love is a realm of light. And the Apostle John, in his first epistle, he begins saying that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And the following verse says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. And then verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. Hallelujah. So the point here is that we could walk in darkness, or we could walk in the light. And although we have been transferred out of the authority of darkness into this realm of light, there may be still parts of our being that are in darkness. And I just like to read the ministry because it says it's better. It's just a small portion from the life study of Colossians. It says, do not think simply because you hear so many messages and teachings that you are in the light. It is very possible that you are still in darkness. For example, if we may still be under the authority of darkness in our married life, when a brother is exchanging words with his wife, both he and his wife are in darkness. Because they are in darkness, they accuse and blame each other. The same is true when there are arguments between brothers or between sisters. Our experience testifies that whenever we live, walk, and behave in the self, we are in darkness. There is no need to commit some gross sin in order to be in darkness. Simply living according to the self puts us in darkness, for it causes us to be separated from Christ. So I get into this life study because I was seeking some help, some practical help, on how is it that I can walk on Christ as the all-inclusive land. So this, since this is a realm of light, this has to do directly with my dealing of my conscience with the Lord in the light of the Lord. Later it explains that it's like in a house. In a house you have many rooms, and some rooms may have the lights on, but some rooms may have the lights off. So that makes some rooms of the house full of light and some rooms of the house in darkness. In the same way, there may be that some parts of our being or some aspects of our living are in darkness. And the darkness can be so thick that we might not even know that these parts of our being are in darkness. So for this, we need the light of life. We need the divine light. We need to spend time with the Lord, that the Lord will shine in us. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanse us from every sin. Once the light shine, we can confess, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanse us from every sin. This will help us to walk in the realm of light, because Colossians 1:12 tells us that this portion that has been allotted to us, Christ, as the all-inclusive spirit, so rich and so full and so good and so sweet, for us to be real, we need to be in the realm of light. Oh, Lord, I receive so much help from this. And, you know, sometimes we feel like when we fail, because we do fail, when we try to follow this, we figure we can't. I have felt many times like I am just a lost case. I just do not qualify. It's just the mercy and the grace of the Lord that we're here. But I do not qualify. If you have felt like that, just like me sometimes, I'd like to confirm with you, yes, you do not qualify, but you do not have to qualify. Because this verse tells us that the Father has qualified you for a share in the allotted portion of the saints in the light. The Father has qualified us. We don't need to qualify. We don't have to even try, because we will never be able to qualify. But the Father, that's why we thank the Father this morning. Thank you, Father, for qualifying us for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. And how is it that the Father has qualified us? By the redemptive death of Christ on the cross. Amen. Everything has been accomplished. Amen. Now we qualify, not because of ourselves, but because of this righteous act of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we are qualified for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. But to make it into practicality, we have to cooperate with the Lord, clear our conscience, come before the light, and confess so that we will be in the light. Because this allotted portion of the saints is in the light. And this is a portion of the saints. Yes, it is my portion, but it's the portion of the saints. So we're in this together. We're not at home trying to read the Bible by ourselves. We're here in the enjoying this rich land, Christ as the all-inclusive spirit, which we all have received, enjoying each other's portion, practicing the church life. Praise the Lord. I am really encouraged by these verses. And the second point I'd like to share is related to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. Maybe we should read it together again. For Jehovah, your God, is bringing you to a good land, a land of water brooks, of springs, and of fountains, flowing forth in valleys and mountains. So this land is so rich. It has so much supply. It's a land flowing, even overflowing, with water brooks, springs, and fountains. These words here represent life. And the Apostle John also writes a lot about the waters. Some of the verses we have this week is John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water gushing up into eternal life. So Christ, as this the reality of this good land, now dwells in our spirit. This land full of these waters now has been installed in our spirit. Whenever we touch our spirit, we touch this fountain. This fountain that gush up with waters of eternal life. Another verse we have this week is John 7:38. He who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Our innermost being is our human regenerated spirit. But this is now a mingled spirit because it has been mingled with this all-inclusive spirit, which is the reality of this good, rich land. So anytime we touch our spirit, we get the rivers flowing. Praise the Lord. That flow rivers of living water. But for the waters to flow, then we have this point here, that it is flowing forth in valleys and mountains. So for the water to flow, you need these two matters, the mountains and the valleys. So our Christian life is filled with these experiences. Experiences of mountains, hallelujah, but also experiences of valleys. These are necessary for these waters of life to flow. And this is the portion that I enjoy in this book, The All-Inclusive Christ, chapter 4, page 42. Here, Brother Lee develops these matters, that these experiences of mountains and valleys are actually recorded in the Bible. The specific experiences. Where in the Bible are these specific experiences that you and me are going through as believers? And these are in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8 and 10. 2 Corinthians 6, 8 and 10. There we find nine of mountain and its valley. The mountain and its valley. Or the valley and its mountain, because both are necessary. And let's just read these verses one more time. Through glory and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and yet behold we live, as being disciplined and yet not being put to death, as made sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet enriching many, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. So this is what Brother Lee says. Allow me a minute to read this portion. It says, if you are someone without any mountains and valleys, if your life is just a plain, I am sure that you will be that you will be with no water flowing within you. The more you suffer, the more you will have flowing forth. The more you have been abased and more evil reports are made about you, the more the water will flow. Whenever God ordains sorrow for you, be assured that rejoicing will follow. The Bible says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. All these are the valleys and the mountains. Then it says, all the valleys are the experiences of the cross, the experiences of the death of Christ. And all the mountains are the experiences of the Lord's resurrection. Whenever there is a valley, there is a mountain. Whenever you experience the death of the cross, you will experience the resurrection. The living waters flow forth from all those experiences. I don't know about you, but when I am in the valleys, I don't want to be there. Actually, probably my prayer is, Lord, take me out of here. But what a light is in the ministry. What a light is in the word. That whenever we're there, we just need to learn to experience Christ there, in the midst of the circumstances, in the midst of their situation. If we are able to experience the Lord there, we will experience the crucified Christ. And this will bring us to the experience of the resurrection. So, for this water to flow, we need the valleys to get to the mountains. Actually, the valleys are mentioned first in the verse in Deuteronomy, because that is how we get to these waters. Oh, Lord Jesus, when we are in these experiences, the water is flowing. This living flow is coming forth. First to water ourselves, and then to water others. So for the church to be built, for us corporally to possess the land, Christ as the good land, we need these experiences. We need to water one another. And we cannot do this during the good days, during the times of happiness, but actually during the times of sorrow, during the times of sickness, during the times of difficulties. If we learn to experience Christ there, then we have the living flow. Something from the training, just a phrase, the training on Deuteronomy, and on this topic also that touched me, I want to share with you, was this simple phrase. If we contact the Lord. Saints, if we contact the Lord, we all go through difficulties, and we all will face sufferings at some point. But what it makes all the difference is if we contact the Lord. Oh, if we turn and contact the Lord. You know, the Lord died on the cross. Not just that we will have the right teaching. Not just that we will have the best teaching of the Bible. The correct biblical interpretation. The best doctrine in Christianity from the Bible. But he died on the cross that we will walk in him. That we will experience him, that we will enjoy him, that we will live in Christ, that Christ will be really our life. I pray that this new year, 2020, will be filled with these experiences from myself and from all the saints, that we will endeavor to take the Lord, to walk in the Lord, to walk in the realm of light, and in whatever situations we are, we learn to enjoy Christ, that we may have the living flow. Praise the Lord.